I'm speaking with Melanie Morrison. Melanie is the older sister of Tiffany Morrison. Tiffany and Melanie are both from the community of Ganawage. Tiffany has been missing from the community since June of 2006. Melanie, welcome to NOMA's Legal Radio.
Thank you.
Melanie, just recently, on the anniversary of your sister's disappearance, there was a vigil in the community of Ganawage. I'm wondering if you could speak about that vigil, the importance of that vigil for you and your family and for those who are fighting for answers and fighting to know what has happened exactly to Tiffany.
I actually decided to put on the vigil and walk for my sister because it was going to be the third year anniversary of her disappearance. And there's been a lack of information coming in. So I figured by doing this, it would get the community involved and aware again that she's still missing, and the media involved to get her story out there and more people talking about it. Because if you let something like this just sit, people forget. And the family felt it was time that the community, the local community, as well as the outside community, become aware that this is still an ongoing search and that we need their help to get to the next step. There was a very good turnout for the event. A lot of community members and a lot of people from Montreal, different organizations came. We had Amnesty, a representative of the Francophone Amnesty there who spoke. Beatrice Vogra, as well as I had elders from the community. Eddie Stacy, the lead investigator on my sister's case, went over the case with everybody so everybody knew what steps we've been taking and what, like the blockades that we hit right now, and to let the community know that we need people to step forward.
Melanie, When people go missing from a community, whether it's a child or an adult, often there is wall-to-wall coverage. Often there are significant amounts of resources put at the disposal of people in order to find out exactly what's going on. There are so many examples of people who've gone missing, and there's been wall-to-wall media coverage and a significant amount of resources put forward to help find those folks. Can you talk a bit about what you described as barriers and frustrations vis-a-vis the efforts to discover what exactly happened to Tiffany and what's going on?
The coverage that you're talking about, we didn't get. We had no media coverage other than our local paper, which is the Eastern Door. We were just hit by doors like basically being slammed in our face when we tried to contact the media. There was no interest taken in the fact that she went missing. So to get her out there and known that she's missing was next to impossible that way. As well, once we traced her, I guess her steps that evening that she went missing, the first blockade that we came across was once we found out that the last place she was seen was in a taxi with a local from town, was trying to get the taxis to give us information on the taxi drivers that were working that night, because the individual that was with her couldn't remember which taxi it was that they took that evening. And the taxi companies are refusing to release names of the workers that were working that area unless we have a court order. We can't get the court order without locating the taxi to get evidence. There's actually three companies that work the area from where she went, where she got the cab. And so we haven't been able to move forward because they won't release the names. They're not willing to give the information so that we can speak to the taxi drivers and see if they remember my sister and where they brought her. The company stated that they're well aware that their drivers take fares to our community and don't log them, which we find really strange, that if they're supposed to log all their fares, how come the company and the owners know that this happens, but they do nothing to enforce that they call in those taxi fares here to the community? The other thing that stopping us from going forward is the actual individual that was with her. Him not being able to remember anything about the taxi, you know, which company company it was, what the driver looked like, what kind of car it was, has led us basically to a dead stop in the search. So right now, we're kind of relying on somebody remembering something, coming forward, so that we can take the next step.
Melanie, how do you account for this seeming double standard at play, where in other cases there is that wall-to-wall media coverage, a significant amount of coverage, significant interest expressed in the plight of whoever's been missing by various authorities, and in this case that doesn't seem to be the case? How do you account for that seeming double standard?
It seems like it's an ongoing double standard with the media when it comes to Native community. For some reason, our community members aren't as important as the outside community, which makes no sense to me. A missing person is a missing person, and everybody should receive the same amount of attention. Just because the person's Native doesn't mean they're any less important, and people shouldn't be aware. I had a few reporters that I spoke to at the vigil and that, and they said that that they could understand our frustration, and they couldn't understand why that coverage isn't there. But by having this vigil and having the media come and speak with me, and that maybe it'll change for somebody else's family if this happens to them, by bringing this attention, that the lack of media coverage for a Native person as opposed to, I guess, Caucasian, Francophone, or any other.
Melanie, your sister has talked about, within the context of more than 500 missing, disappeared, murdered Indigenous Native women and girls over the last few decades. But for every single one of those women and girls, there's of course a story. There's an individual. It's not just a statistic. And I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit about Tiffany. We know she was 24 when she disappeared, and that she was from the community of Ganawage, and she was a young mother. Could you speak to us about your younger sister and tell us more about her?
Tiffany was always a very happy person. She was always making a joke, trying to get you laughing. Her daughter was her world. She was very close to my older daughter. Like, they would always be together. She was always around to take her different places and that, and she was always always involved with family in general. And at the time she went missing, she had just finished entrepreneurial course here in town. It's to help people who have a business that they want to start up. It gives them the tools that they need, background on what you need to start a business, how to do a business proposal and that. And the ironic thing is, the business that she wanted to start was actually a taxi company. And that's where her trail ends, is in a taxi. Whenever somebody met Tiffany, you never forgot her. She always made like a lasting impression. She always trusted everybody. She always, you know, they never thought bad of anybody. She always was very helpful. She was trying to start this business by taking this course so that she could build a house for her and her daughter. She was never the type of mother to leave her daughter for any length of period, any period of time, without calling and letting my mother know. Whenever she went out, she would tell us where she was going to be in that and what time she would be back. And if anything changed, she would always call. So that was like the first clue that something was really wrong. But if for anybody who met Tiffany, they would tell you she was like always there to help you out, do what she could for you. She always had like a really big heart. And it's a lot quieter with her gone. I mean, she could like light up a room when she came in. You knew she was there. And it's a really big part of our family that's gone.
Melanie, I know that you're raising money in order to raise more publicity about this case, because clearly the media isn't picking it up as it should. Can you describe some of those efforts?
At the moment, we're trying to raise funds to get billboards out on the Highway 138 and 132, which run through our community, of my sister's missing person poster. At the moment, we had a generous donation from Patterson. They're going to donate a billboard for 1 month. We just have to pay the cost of the poster. And if anybody's interested to help fund the billboards that we're trying to get up, you're more than welcome to contact us. We're trying to get as many up as possible, so this way we can put pressure on the people who have information to come forward. Our goal is to eat away at their conscience and have them come forward and tell us what they know.
Melanie, to end, can you tell our listeners how they can get involved and how they can support you and your mother and your family and the community in finding out what exactly happened to Tiffany and to bring her back home?
To read about Tiffany's story, you can go on Amnesty's website under Stolen Sisters. You can go on Missing Children's Network. Her poster's there. If you have any information, you can call the Gunawage Peacekeepers at 450-632-6505. You can leave a message or you can ask for Eddie Stacy. He's the investigator. If anybody's interested in helping us get her story out there, have any suggestions, they can call Eddie at the Peacekeepers, or they can call Carrie Ann Deer at the Quebec Native Women's. She's working with me in my my efforts to get my sister found, and she can be reached at 450-632-0088, extension 221. Anything and everything is going to be accepted. We're really accepting any help anybody's willing to give.
Melanie, stay strong, and thank you for taking the time to speak with us on No One's Legal Radio.
Thank you for taking the time to take an interest in my sister, and hopefully more people follow your lead and come forward to help. And thank you again on behalf of the Morrison family.